Good evening. I'd like to call the October 18th, 2011 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Ms. Cha?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Keeper?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna? Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein? Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
13 members present.
Before we do anything else tonight, I'm afraid we need to pause. We need to pause to honor and remember a member of our family, Bob DeLuca, husband, father, and commissioner of mental health for Tompkins County. Bob was an inspiration to so many people in so many ways. He cared deeply about the people he and his department served, calling them folks rather than clients or patients. Always dedicated to those whom society marginalized, Bob began his career as coordinator of volunteer services for prisoner rehabilitation and went on to serve in Tioga and Broome counties, coming here about 10 years ago as Deputy Commissioner of Mental Health. 2005, he became our Commissioner of Mental Health and really led his department in finding in more and more ways to create a compassionate community and a community that served despite all the struggles with funding and regulations and everything else that our departments deal with every day. And of course, as we know, he got sick about a year ago. Almost exactly a year ago, and really fought on, refused to give in, refused to stop serving, even coming here 2 weeks ago to give us his budget presentation for next year. Bob devoted his life to helping people in need. Our thoughts and deepest condolences go to Karen and to their daughters. And we miss him very, very much. I'm pleased that Gail Holst-Warhoff, our poet laureate, is here tonight. I'd like to invite her to the microphone for a few words.
I didn't know Bob DeLuca as you all did, and I sat and thought maybe I would try to write a poem suitable for this occasion. But that would have required knowing him rather personally, I think. So I thought I would just read a short poem about the fact that we all bring our own grief. We have all lost people, and we all bring our own grief to any sad occasion like this. It's called At the Funeral. At your funeral, I remembered his. One death doesn't make the next easier. Their weight combines, like shovels of dirt on a pine box. At his funeral, I had no words. I stood at the center of things, dumb and blinded, grief clouding me like the ink of a giant squid. Ami, forgive me. At your funeral, I thought of my son in your mother's kitchen, the way we washed him in the sink and how he laughed. Even grief is selfish. My grief for you got mixed up with grief for him. At one funeral, we remember another. It's how we know nothing is lost. Pain has perfect recall. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. Calling hours begin tonight, so maybe we can have a short meeting and and go to Dryden to the funeral home. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desk.
I'd like to ask for a brief executive session at the end of this meeting to talk about possible litigation. Thank you, Gail. And I'm going to reorder business a bunch so that some folks who are waiting, staff and guests who are waiting, can move through the meeting and we'll take care of their business first. And this includes legislative privileges of the floor, but first I should ask, is there any member of the public who'd like to address the legislature? We'll start with that. Do we have anybody signed up? Even though nobody's signed up, if you'd like to address us, just go ahead, come to the microphone. All right. For legislative privilege, I would like to move that until after Paula's presentation and the resolution on the CHA, Resolution J. But I first would like to recognize Frank Proto for another memorial conversation.
Thank you, Martha. I'd like to present for your consideration Resolution K in your packets. Give you a second to locate it. It's the one entitled Sincere Appreciation, Harris B. Dates. A couple of weeks back, Harris passed away, and because he had such a profound impact on this county as
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Is
yeah.
that better?
Yeah.
Because Harris had such a profound effect on the county as a whole, not only as the Lansing supervisor before we became a county legislature, county board of representatives, some of you probably did not have the privilege of knowing him. I think I'm the only remaining member of this board that served with him, and it was a very brief stint, several years, but his impact was something else. A very fine gentleman, and he was very patient with a lot of us, especially those of us that knew all the answers to all the questions. So with your indulgence, I'd like to read this resolution. Is that all right, Madam Chair?
It is probably in your red folders if you haven't found it yet.
Entitled again, Sincere Appreciation, Harris B. Dates. Whereas it is appropriate to recognize individuals having a profound and positive impact on their community, and whereas it is appropriate to acknowledge those contributions and marking their benefits to county residents as well as county governance, and whereas among such accomplishments and contributions associated with this individual are the establishment of Tompkins-Cortland Community College, then Tompkins Community Hospital's transition to the county and its building expansion, a new jail, a county library, Tompkins County Area Development Board with guidance to the start of Cornell Research Park, groundwork for a new airport terminal, consolidation of solid waste facilities, restoring the Tompkins County Arts Council, and work with the Chamber of Commerce. And whereas, while participating in the transition in 1970 of the Tompkins County Board of Supervisors to the Tompkins County Board of Representatives, now County Legislature, with its associated charter, working to establish the more than 25 new departments, including assessment consolidation, necessary to county operations, and whereas he was asked to serve as first chairman of this new board in 1970, doing so for several years to shepherd this transition, and returning to the chairmanship in 1979 until his retirement from county service in 1986, having served Tompkins County for 29 years. And whereas he willingly gave his time to oversee this transition while encouraging those of us serving with him to stay the course, always remaining the gentleman statesman he was, knowing he had the generous support of his family. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this legislature, on behalf of the entire Tompkins County community, recognizes the extraordinary contributions of Harris B. Dates, the country boy from Lansing, and expresses its sincere condolences to his family and friends upon his passing on September 26, 2011. And I'll move that.
Thank you. Can I ask for a unanimous second? With permission. All right. Thank you. I'd also like to recognize Lee Shurtleff. I'd like to say a few words.
Thank you, Martha and Frank. A couple of you might know that my involvement with Tompkins County government extends back further than my employment with Tompkins County government. I hate to say it, back to the early 80s when I was a high school student, and I had the privilege of serving here as an intern with the Tompkins County Board of Representatives. And I dare say that I was probably one of many that Harris encouraged and inspired to look toward a career with Tompkins County. As a student of political science and of local government, I think it's fair to say that Harris and his colleagues from the 1970s and 1980s truly defined what modern county government is and what it is today. And I would look to this resolution that Frank has shared with me and tell you that to me it just doesn't memorialize this extraordinary individual, but serves as a tribute and in many ways a reminder of what public service is all about and of the qualities and values that Harris always exhibited. A great wit, grace, humor, charm, integrity, and something that I know you all share, a dedication to public service and to the greater good of the citizens of Tompkins County. And I'm glad you're bringing this forward. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Lee. Are we ready to vote on the resolution? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. That's unanimous. Thank you very much for writing this, Frank.
You bet.
Whoever wrote it, thank you for writing it. And we'll send a copy along, for a professional, official-looking copy along with Lee to the family. Now, as I said before some folks came in, we're going to reorder the agenda tonight. The first thing I'd like to do is Resolution J, and after that I'll go to the Budget Committee for the resolution. I'm not sure what the letter is on Africana Studies. So if first we could have Frank bring us to Resolution J. Not, you won't do your whole report now, but just take the resolution. Okay.
Okay, I'm just shuffling.
Well, we can go to Jim first if you want.
Okay, Resolution J, entitled Award of Request for Proposals, Purchase of Certified Home Health Agency, CHA, Operating Certificate, the Health Department, and an ISO move.
Is there a second? Jim seconds. Frank, do you want to talk about this a little?
Where is Frank Krupa? We've asked Frank to prepare a little summary that the committee went through, and I'm going to, in a moment, let him do that. But I wanted to just, Frank, would you summarize the steps that we went through with Joe's committee and the steps that the department has gone through as well? Mm-hmm. And then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Thank you, Frank Krupa, Public Health Director. You should all have in front of you a document that's two-sided that first includes a summary of the steps that I'm about to describe. It also has a brief description of the two respondents that we received. And then on the back of that is the corporate summary from HCR, which is the respondent that we are bringing forward today. We pulled that straight out of their response to our RFP, so that is their own words. And behind me is Mr. Mark Maxim. He is the president of HCR, so he is here, one, to be introduced, and two, to answer any questions that you all might have as well when I am through. So first, the last time that we were before you related to this subject, the decision was made to move forward with the sale of our certified home health agency at the health department. Subsequent to that, the county administrator, with the concurrence of the Health and Human Services Committee, convened a committee to create and review the RFP that we were going to use for this process. That committee consisted of myself, Brenda Crosby, our public health administrator, Sigrid Connors, our director of patient services, Joe, county administrator, Paula Younger, deputy county administrator, Frank Proto and Jim Dennis representing this board, Betty Falco from the Health Planning Council, as well as Dr. McMillan, president of the Board of Health. So we had a pretty broad group that was involved in the process. The first thing that they did was gather together and create the criteria that we wanted to evaluate in our RFPs. So we met, we discussed what we thought was important, we looked at several samples from around the state, and we created a document, a draft document. From there it was reviewed, we went back, made some adjustments, through electronic means, went through many iterations, and settled on a final RFP, which was then posted. While that was posted, the respondents had an opportunity to ask us additional questions. They did that, we responded to those, and they submitted their final proposals to us. Once we had those proposals were distributed to the committee for their review, and then we met to go over how we felt the respondents replied to our criteria that we have created. There was some very vigorous discussion about what we had received. What we determined was there was additional questions that we felt needed to be answered, and we decided that there was two ways we wanted to get those answered. The first was to submit additional written questions to both respondents and allow them to reply in writing, and then we also invited both respondents in for an interview. So the committee reconvened once we had received those written responses and proceeded to conduct the interviews with the two companies. Both companies are high quality. They are qualified and submitted good applications, which was good news. We were happy to see that. It did, however, make the decision difficult. But the committee was very deliberate in their actions. There was a lot of discussion. And ultimately, once all of the information was considered, the interviews were completed, the committee has unanimously recommended that HCR be selected to purchase Archa here in Tompkins County. Once that recommendation was moved forward, it went to the Health and Human Service Committee, which also approved it, and then this afternoon, Budget, Capital, and Personnel approved it as well to bring it to the floor here today. And so that is the process that we went through. It was very deliberate, and we made sure that everyone that was on the committee had the opportunity to have all of their questions answered, and was able to come to a conclusion that they felt was appropriate for Tompkins County. And so we're here before you today requesting that you approve a resolution to sell the CHA to HCR and allow the county administrator to enter into a management contract to bridge us from today till we get to the official sale approval by the state of New York.
Thank you very much, Frank. And I want to really thank the entire committee and Health and Human Services Committee. They've all spent a lot of time doing this extraordinarily carefully and thoughtfully. And it was a tough decision, but I think an important decision to take. And I think it's been carried out very well. So with that, Frank, did you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I just, it would be redundant, but I'm going to do it anyway, to thank Frank and the staff at the health department, because I know how sensitive the issue was and still is, but they hung in and provided all the information that we absolutely needed. You folks have been very gracious. This was a tough decision for a lot of us, myself included, and I just wanted to express my thanks to both of the applicants because it made it very, very tough for us to wend through. We felt that either one of the organizations could have done the job, but we were certainly impressed with HCR. And I think that's what led us to the recommendation that's before you tonight. While Joe and I don't disagree too often, we certainly disagreed on this one. But I think tonight we're ready to move forward. And we've been reassured that the questions that were raised have been addressed and that we're going to move forward with this process and work with HCR, assuming you folks approve them. Work with HCR to see that the citizenry receives the type of care that it's entitled to. And Frank, I'd certainly like to express my personal thanks to you. This was a tough one, especially being on the job 22 seconds when you had to go through this. Thanks, Martha.
Jim.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention, and maybe Frank did mention, but I was a member, Frank Proto, but Will Burbank attended all of the meetings and was around the table throughout the whole process and didn't really need to be there, but showed interest because he's a member of the Health and Human Services Committee, and it was good and interesting to have Will's perspective on all of it.
Thank you, Jim. Any other discussion? Pam.
Well, I just wanted to say that I will be voting against this, not because I think that the company has anything wrong or anything wrong with the process. It sounds to me that like there was a lot of good hard work done on it and careful consideration. But I'm voting against it because I think that we should keep the CHA within the county, that it is a way that we can make sure that we are providing the kind of services that we want to provide and that the employees are treated in the way that we treat our county employees and we would want them to be treated. So just as that principle before me, I will vote against it. But I thank everybody for their hard work because I think that has shown how seriously we are looking at this, and I really appreciate that.
Leslie and then Kathy.
Thank you. From the beginning of this process, I have been against the sale of the CHA from concept, and I'm usually pretty consistent with my votes. I'm especially concerned about our employees. It was nice to hear a county administrator talk some about the potential of some of our employees being hired by HCR, other employees who might have already found additional work, et cetera. I also appreciated reading and getting the feedback on how the search process went, which I thought was very open, very fair, and appreciate the work done there. But in my interest of just being consistent, because I did not believe we should have done this in the first place, I will be voting no against it.
All right. Kathy.
Thank you. I have a little different approach on this. As many of y'all know, I also was very reluctant for the county to divest from the CHA and didn't support us doing that. The legislature in the majority voted to divest from the CHA. Usually that doesn't shut me up, and I watched the process very carefully, both as a member of the Budget Committee and a member of the Health and Human Services Committee. I'm also going to be watching very carefully as this goes forward. The decision's been made. Part of what I admired was the way that Frank hit the ground running, the way that the less quiet Frank also helped in the process. I'm not going to speak for him, but I know that he had some concerns, and the way that staff pulled together to make something happen that the legislature had asked them to do. You can't ask for a better staff, and the fact that they, after going through the whole Brown Road move, which many of you know the history of my stance on that, very graciously united together to support this divestment and the selection process, as far as I could tell, and I'm on, like I said, Health and Human Services Committee, was open and inclusive. I appreciated the contributions that Will made. A lot of times I would think to myself, oh, they should include this. And I would see that Will had sent off an email saying, have you thought about including this, which is a nicer way to put it. So I can't fault the process. I may not like what happened, but I think that as it goes forward, there'll be plenty of us in county government watching to see that it upholds the highest standards of quality care that we've become accustomed to, and I'm going to vote for this tonight to show my support. Even though I'm usually the one standing on principle, I'm happy y'all are doing it tonight and that I get to vote yes for a change.
Thank you, Kathy. Dooley.
It was mentioned that the CEO for HCR is here. Do we have a chance to ask any questions before we vote?
Please do.
Good evening. I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's Mark Maxim.
Mr. Maxim. I, unlike my colleague Will, was unable to attend all the committee meetings where this was discussed, but I sent one question in which concerned me, and I never really got an answer, so I'd like to ask you. We have an ongoing emergency response planning process in the county, and it seems to me that, although I'm sure you guys would respond if there is an emergency, I would like to be assured that you will be participating in the ongoing emergency response planning throughout the year. Is that something you can address?
Yeah, we do that in Monroe County and any other county that wants us to participate. We are in Schoharie County, and as you know, they had some really terrible floods, and we were very active in the emergency shelters and taking care of folks, getting medicine delivered to our patients. So I think we demonstrated that, and we're very anxious to participate in these things.
Well, I understand. During an emergency, I'm sure you were there. This is more a commitment of time throughout the year when there isn't an emergency. So that's what
yes,
I was interested
in. Yes, we do that.
Okay, thank you very much. I, like several others of my colleagues, did not want to see the CHA sold. I had not had a chance to read any of the reference checks until I found some summary on my desk tonight. I will be voting no, although I know it's going forward, because I'm still not comfortable. So.
Anybody else? Ready to vote? All, what? Pat?
I'm trying to remember. Did we move this?
Yes. Moved by Frank and seconded by Jim.
Okay. I just have one question. In line 11, what does the word project reference? Is that a... Should that word be used?
It should be sale. Change the word project to sale.
Sale? Did we do that?
Sale or license or? Frank, was this discussed in the committee?
You can't award a sale to HCR. No. It would have to be some other.
Recommends the sale be awarded. The license be awarded.
The license?
License. Okay.
The license. Recommends the license be awarded to HCR. Yeah, Joe?
I would think it's the certificate.
The certificate?
The certificate of need.
No, we have a certificate to operate a home health agency, and it's the certificate that we would be selling to the to HCR.
Should we say the operating certificate?
I think that would be fine.
That'd be okay? So mover and seconder, good? Okay. Thank you, Pat, for bringing that up. All right, ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution J with that slight amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 11-4, that passes. All right, thank you very much, Mr. Maxim. Thank you for coming. Appreciate the visit.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Frank. And Sigrid, and Betty, and anyone else. I was going to call on Jim.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's say, Frank, do you want to finish up? Do you have a report? I'll wait for Jim to come back.
He's back.
Jim's back. That was
okay,
sorry, Frank. You're too slow. All right. Budget and budget personnel and capital and personnel committee chair, Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Martha. We had a short meeting this afternoon and considered the resolution. And what I would like to do, and we have one out of the committee, and what I would like to do is turn it over to Leslin, because it was Leslin's resolution that came to the committee that we worked on, and I would like her to handle it from here on. Can I do that?
It has to be a member of the committee. I believe.
Right. Well, I would... defer to her.
What? If it came out of the committee, I think, right. Jonathan, shouldn't it come from the committee, from a member of the committee? Or does it not matter? It could be any...
Can I defer the resolution and let Leslin move it?
She's not a member of the budget committee. Does it have to be a member of the budget committee that moves it?
How about I'll move the resolution.
Well, if it's not, we need 10 votes.
Yeah.
Right, because it has to be someone from the committee coming out of committee. So,
So I'll move the resolution.
Well, I'm not opposed to moving it. I was just going to have to hand it over. I will move the resolution as chair of the committee.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, and I bet you're going to second it, Nathan.
Sure, I'll second it, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. All right, Nathan. So, Leslin, yes. Do you want to speak to this first?
Sure. This resolution is, can I name it? Can I name the resolution? Read the title of the resolution?
Yes, right.
Thank you. This is a resolution that's coming before you, urging Cornell University administrators to engage in an open process that is fully inclusive of Africana Studies and Research Center faculty, (ASRC), in the implementation of the realignment of ASRC. I am bringing this resolution because, as you know, Cornell University embarked on a process of realigning Africana Studies and Research Center, moving it under the umbrella of the College of Arts and Sciences. It is there that realignment has happened, and we're now at the point of the implementation stage, and members of Africana Studies and Research Center, be it faculty, staff, students, as well as allies and members of the community of color who have taken a keen interest in this, are concerned about having an active role in part of that implementation, as the university administrators had indicated. And so I'm bringing this resolution to you as a vote of support for those members, some of whom spoke to us before and who have been speaking out about this issue, not to stop anything at all. The first resolution that we had looked at a few months ago essentially was asking Cornell to stop doing what it was doing and take a look. This one is essentially, as one of my colleagues indicated when I spoke to them, asking Cornell to make sure that the process is open and inclusive of those who are going to be affected. It's not waving any big stick over Cornell's head. You know, we certainly wouldn't do that. It's more of a lobbying to Cornell administrators to do what we pride ourselves in doing as a legislature, which is having an open process that includes people who are concerned about an issue. And so I'm bringing this resolution to you and hope that you will support it tonight.
Thank you. I have Nathan, Jim, Pat. But first, to make sure everybody understands, this is revised.
It is revised. Right. I was just about to say it's a revised resolution.
So there's language crossed out. It says over in handwriting on the bottom. So make sure everybody has that.
Right. Okay. And the revisions, by the way, Martha, is based on conversations I've had with many legislators who indicated some places they'd love to see some changes, and so I included that, as well as some of the conversations that Nathan has had with others, and we sort of merged that language.
Okay. Thank you, Leslin. Nathan, Jim, then Pat.
Yeah, so I just wanted to thank Leslin for bringing this resolution forward, both in the Budget and Capital Committee and in WDIC. And I just wanted to note that this resolution had unanimous support by the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, and also just now, before the meeting, had unanimous support by the Budget Committee as well. I think the key thing about this resolution is that it's really looking forward. And it's simply saying that, you know, that they would like to, that we would like to have the Africana faculty included in the restructuring of the department and choosing its permanent leadership. It's very reasonable. It's looking forward. And I hope that you can support it tonight. And that's it. I gave a very impassioned speech last time this came up, so I won't repeat it.
Thank you, Nathan. Jim?
During the discussion this afternoon, in the whereas that begins with whereas the office of Cornell provost and names the person, we removed the person's name.
Yeah, we just said Cornell University.
Yeah, we just said Cornell University.
Cornell University Administration.
Right, administration. And let me just say, as the first resolution...
I'm sorry, Jim, you mean you removed the name of the provost?
That's right.
Okay,
and
that's
we
not...
substituted Cornell University Administration.
So it says, whereas Cornell University Administration announced...
Right.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you had something
else. And let me just say that the first resolution that we saw some time ago, I personally was not going to support that because I felt like we were involving ourselves in almost insider politics of Cornell University and in choosing people to lead departments, and much the same thing that they probably do over and over again as they change deans and hire professors that none of us are ever involved in. But as we, as this resolution got changed, and I'm really impressed with what Nate just said, that it's a forward-looking resolution, and I hadn't thought of that, but I agree with that. And at that, at this point, I would support the resolution the way it's written.
Pat?
I'd just like to say that I share a lot of the sentiments that Jim just expressed. I was not able to support this the first time that we voted on it. I continue to have some of those same reservations. Given the number of changes and the what seems to me to be a very different tone that's been developed as this has gone through the process, I would like to be able to support the community in trying to reach a resolution that works for everybody up there at Cornell. So despite my continued reservations about our apparent willingness to insert ourselves into what I see as basically an internal affair of the university, I will go ahead and support this resolution.
Thank you, Pat. Anyone else? Carol.
Yeah. I still don't feel that I can support the legislature passing a resolution on African studies. And I say that after great reflection and having been... I was a part of the movement in 1968-69 out on the streets to help create Africana studies. Dr. Turner, recently honored, would not have been hired without the actions of that year by students, both black and white, faculty who were white. I've lobbied Cornell as an alum, as a former staff member, as a retiree, heavily. And I have passed information actively along to other alumni. I planned, moderated, and spoke at a three-hour, four-member panel 5 years ago that was a retrospective of both Africana studies, the founding of that, and our experiences as classmates and alums with race, as black and white students and since. It featured both Dr. Turner, who essentially wrote what I think is the beginnings of his memoir for that presentation, that was about an hour long, and a member of the white faculty, a white member of the faculty, who was active opposing the formation of Africana Studies at the time, and then later changed his mind and has actively spoken about that. And then a classmate of ours who became a federal judge, black classmate, and white classmates who were involved as well. And we have our 40th reunion coming up. I am probably going to be overturned, but we are looking to hold another similar panel, maybe in conjunction with the black alumni group that is holding a reunion at the same time. And, you know, I continue to make calls to people I know at Cornell. I still continue to think that this is not the right body to be weighing in, that it has to be alumni, faculty, staff, and students who need to be weighing in. I also, unfortunately, I don't believe that Cornell has singled out this department for treatment that this treatment represents probably this department has not been singled out for greater centralization of decision making related to hiring and academic decisions. So I just don't feel that in terms of town gown relations, while I believe that we need to be listening, while I believe that we need to be weighing in as individuals, I just don't support doing it in the form of an official county resolution. So I won't support it.
Thank you, Carolyn. Will, and then Pam, then Dooley, then I'll jump in.
Thank you, Martha. I especially have to disagree with Carol on this one. I initially was, the last time we considered this, was not comfortable specifically some of the language and commenting on things that I thought we, as a body, knew little about. This resolution, as I've read it, I think is much something that I feel I think is perfectly reasonable. And I really appreciate the response of members of the community who've come out and spoken so passionately about it and urging us to respond to the major institution in our community and call upon it to live up to its highest ideals. So I will feel comfortable voting for this.
Thank you, Will. Pam?
Yes, I supported this resolution the last time, and I will support it again tonight. I don't look at this resolution as in terms of the Cornell town gown relationships. I look at this in terms of the Africana Center's relationship with this our community. That this Africana Center has played an important role in our community, in particular the African American community, during its lifetime. I don't think anybody can question or doubt that. And to see and to feel that this is in some way may change in a way that is going to be detrimental to that relationship, it will have an impact on our community in a negative way, then I feel very comfortable supporting this, and I will vote for it again tonight.
Thank you, Pam. Dooley?
Well, I've been around Ithaca a long time. I'm a Cornell grad. I was here during all of the troubles and the formation of this, but I don't want to talk about that. This resolution does not reflect to me a recognition of where things stand now. It's still backward-looking, not just forward-looking. I can't support it. I don't think it's appropriate for us to be telling the university that they need to treat specific faculty with the respect they deserve. That just seems an unfortunate way to talk about things. We had our brief quarterly meeting, Tompkins County reps with Cornell reps today, and this came up, and it was strongly conveyed to Cornell the discontent that has been expressed to us by the local community of color about this issue. But I took seriously the arts dean's letter to the public about where things stand now. And I think Cornell is behaving exactly the way they should be behaving at this point in time. I think having a real PhD program paid for, additional faculty hired, is the right thing to be doing, and it seems to be one where the Africana faculty are being included now. So I don't see any reason to support this, and I won't.
Thank you, Dooley. For my own part, I voted against this last time, but I will vote for it tonight, however, reluctantly. I do really appreciate the sort of lens people have gone to create a resolution that can gain as broad support as possible. Appreciate that. But the reason is not because I think Cornell's doing something right or not right, but it's really not something I personally am educated about or have time to educate myself about. As I've told some members of the community that I barely have time to educate myself about the stuff that's clearly our job. So I feel uncomfortable taking a stand on something where I don't have a way to know sort of objective facts. My husband's on the faculty, and I've often asked him about an issue that shows up in the newspaper, not this one, but other many issues. So, is this the way it reads in the paper? And he'll say, no, it's like entirely the opposite. So I hesitate to put my name on something where I really haven't had the time to make some kind of investigation, and I know that I can't do this. However, this language is certainly something that's broad enough, and I can support this, but I'm really not going to be in the habit of doing this kind of thing. It's really not my preference as to what the role of the county legislature ought to be, but I will vote for it tonight. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak? Kathy.
Thank you. I wasn't here when we voted on this the last time. Before the budget meeting, I sent in a revisions that, to my way of thinking, addressed some of the issues. I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be broad, but I'm not as diplomatic as Leslin. I never will be. I'm not able to swallow some of the things that have been said here tonight about a real PhD program or about people being able to support the movement and not support Africana studies. The fact is, Africana studies, and I'm not giving a lot of y'all a history lesson here because, as I'll always be known, I'm a newcomer. I've only been here, 25 years. But it took me less than 6 months to find out that the Africana Center was this great cross-disciplinary movement, and it had activism as part of it. It had to be part of it because the times called for it. And guess what? The times still call for it. And yes, it is our job. If we're going to speak out about fracking, if we're going to speak out about the environment, if we're going to speak out about social justice, we need to speak out about things like the evisceration of the Africana Center. Now, I can't put all that in this because it wouldn't pass. It would be unreasonable to many people. And I have to bless Leslin for being skillful and diplomatic enough to have lobbied everyone and to help them understand the portions of their truth that they could find in this resolution that we, I hope, will pass tonight, because it does mean something, not just to the community of color, which is very important to me and I think to many of us around the table here, but to our community, because we say we stand for certain things and then we do things that kind of show that we're not really acting the way that we say we believe. This would help a lot. Because as deluded as it is, and again, no offense to Leslin, she's a smart person. I would have included a lot of inflammatory verbiage in here, as many of y'all know. Without this resolution, there's a sense in the overall community, not just the community of color, but the activist community, those who understand the need for social change to have acknowledgement from institutions, to have acknowledgement of history, to have statements of how institutional change needs to happen. And with this statement here tonight, we're doing our little part to help that happen. That's all it is. And I really appreciate Lesnar for all the work that she did, Nathan for the work that he did, many of you who took time, personal time, to convey your ideas about what would make it more palatable to you, that would make it a stronger resolution. And for those of you who were reluctant at first, but now on the strength of Leslin's reputation, on your understanding of the needs of our community, who are now willing to support this. And I think it's a historic moment.
Anyone else? Peter?
Yeah, let me just give my thoughts. I actually do know something about the facts, but I am, in general, believe that we pass too many resolutions where we don't know the facts and which do not necessarily really make a difference in the job that we have to do. And we have had a number of those resolutions. I have not felt comfortable doing it, but in general I voted for them because I was generally inclined to do that, even though I wasn't sure about the content of them. I wish we didn't do that as much as we do, but we do, and therefore I am not, I certainly will support this one because it's a resolution that will be seen as some support for an organization that I think deserves my personal support. So,
thank you, Peter. Anyone else? Ready to vote? All in favor of the revised resolution H, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? 13 to 2, that passes. Thank you.
Thank you all very, very much. It means a lot to me. And right. Someday I'll have a conversation with those who want to have a conversation about how racism manifests itself differently when you're looking at it through the eyes of a person of color.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see. We have other resolutions that staff are here for. I'm going to try to. Why don't we do the consent agenda, and then we'll go back to legislative privilege of the floor. I think that'll help out some folks. Thank you to the public for coming. We appreciate your interest. Thank you all. The consent agenda, resolution A, please let me know if you have a problem or want something to be taken off the agenda. Off the consent agenda. Scheduling resolution A, scheduling a public hearing for the continuation of and modifications to Agricultural District Number 1, located on the east side of Cougar Lake and encompassing the towns of Lansing, Groton, Dryden, Caroline, and parts of Danby and Ithaca. Resolution B, amendment to resolution number 2011-34, establishing a budget for regional transportation study. Resolution C, payment of multi-year tourism capital grants, 2011. Resolution D, authorizing Tompkins County to apply for NYSERDA Cleaner, Greener Communities Regional Sustainability Planning Program grant.
Off.
Okay. And an appointment to the Strategic Tourism Planning Board, Ethan Ash. So that is the consent agenda. Is that a motion, Kathy, for the consent agenda? Seconded by Frank. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those
Point
are
of information.
That's unanimous.
I want to remove a resolution from the agenda, and we went by that. I didn't know where we were going to do that.
Well, I hope it wasn't on a consent agenda. Because
no, it wasn't. I mean, but I became worried when you when we got there.
All right. Well, let's go. This is going to be a juggling game here. So, all right, are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda?
Yes. Pam. I'd like to remove Resolution F from the agenda.
Resolution F. All right. So we'll see if that takes lets any staff go home. Jay, what are you waiting for? Okay. And Ed, what are you waiting for? All right. Well, let's see. We might as well just do everything upside down. Let's go to PDEC and Resolution D. Then we'll go to Legislative Privilege of the Floor, and then we'll go to Paula's presentation. How's that? Pam, you want to take Resolution D?
Resolution E, resolution requesting the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation.
No, D.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was taken off the consent agenda.
Got it. All right, sorry. Authorizing Tompkins County to apply for an NYSERDA Cleaner, Greener Communities Regional Sustainability Planning Program grant on behalf of a consortium of Southern Tier communities, and I so move.
And Dooley seconds. Brian?
Yeah, I just have it's just a question on can you please tell me, is this part of the task force that you're on as far as the governor's regional task force?
Yeah, kind of. Right, Ed? The question was, is this part of the Regional Economic Development Council? That's a complicated question.
Maybe I can simplify it a little bit. With that in mind, I guess that numerous grants and the competition in and of itself are going to generate a lot of this type of stuff. And does each governing body within the whole area have to do this each time one of these grants comes up? Or do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Let me answer one part of it, and then I'll go to Ed. You've heard me talk about the consolidated funding application as a process where all the state agencies, where people previously applied at all different times during the year and just applied to NYSERDA or Housing and Community Renewal or whatever, those are all brought together into one process with a deadline of October 31st this year. So groups are applying for grants. Our council will vet those, all those proposals, and we will score them in some way that's not been explained to us yet. That won't be the entire evaluation, but will be part of the evaluation of proposals like this. This one fits beautifully with a very big part of the Southern Tiers package that I think we'll be approving in the next at the next meeting. So this fits very, very well. It's I think terrific that anybody has come forward to do this, and I'm especially proud that Ed and his staff have come forward to do this. So I hope it will get through. Now, as far as will every county board have to approve every application, I don't think so.
Okay.
Ed, you want to go from there?
Yeah, it'll depend on the application. In this case, all the other counties in the region don't have to, or municipalities have to approve, pass a resolution for us to apply, but there has to be a municipality to apply on behalf of the region. And we've reached out to all the other counties and the two regional planning agencies in the region who are willing to work together on this, but it requires one municipality to be the applicant, is the way the grant program is set up. So.
Now, the way you... The they're not all that way. I mean, that's part of the NYSERDA requirements, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Brian?
I don't oppose what the grant is for. I just wanted to clarification, and I'm not sure I got it yet, but that's okay.
I would just say that probably every grant program is going to be different. So there may be some that will come back to require these kind of resolutions, others will not. I don't think it's okay. Unified in that respect.
We're not going to be the conduit to every one within the region or
no.
Anything. Oh, no.
Okay.
No,
most
not at all.
Would not be this way. This is kind of unique.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
But stay tuned. We'll see how it gets worked out. Any other discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution D, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Ed, that's it for you? Have a good evening. All right. Let us go to legislator privilege of the floor. Would anyone like to start at the beginning of the meeting again? Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to add a few remarks to Martha's kind remarks about Bob DeLuca. Some of us had the privilege of working with him for several years, and the last 10 since he was the commissioner. And I wanted to tell you that this fellow was one of the most understated individuals that you will ever meet. His passion for what he did was exemplary. But as Martha has described, he was very careful about how he referred to people and how he treated them. One side of him that you may not know about, as some of you may, but Bob, in addition to being a very capable commissioner of mental health, he was a passionate artsy. He did a lot of writing, and he did a lot of performing. We had the pleasure this past summer of seeing some of his work at the Shakespeare performances up at Cornell. And my understanding is he did some writing and some arranging for the Hangar Theater. He's also a musician. A well-hidden talent, but if you ever saw him on stage, you would have died. He was great. But anyway, just wanted to add a few of those comments. I know his family really will be missing him. A lot of us will, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Dooley?
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, Frank. He could sing, he could dance, he could act. That was another wonderful facet. I wanted to mention that the Martha Van Rensselaer building on the Cornell campus, which had suffered, I don't know what to call it, a downhill slide, it has been rebuilt. And it's being formally reopened and dedicated this Thursday, midday. That seems worth commemorating. I wanted to mention that the environmental award that Assemblywoman Lifton has received will be actually awarded. It's tomorrow at noon, but because of the rain that's threatened, it's been moved to 6 Mile Creek Vineyards if people want to go for that.
What time is that?
Noon. I was at the MPO today, and one of the effects of the federal government's non-action on the transportation bill and these continuing resolutions for weeks or months at a time has resulted in not just our having to plan for flat funding for things, but the actual implementation of, if you didn't use your money, you're going to lose it. And that is apparently affecting Hanshaw Road completely. We did not start construction in 2011, and we haven't started it in 2012, although we have gone forward with easements. That doesn't count because the easement process is totally separate in the superior level of government's mind from the construction process. So it looks as though Hanshaw Road's money is gone from that project. It will enable some other projects in the region to continue, but it sure doesn't help us. So I started with good news, and I'm ending with bad news.
Julie, 2012 isn't over.
We were supposed to have started construction in 2010.
Oh, you said we didn't start in 2011 and we didn't start in 2012.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I beg your pardon.
Okay. This was the
You
end.
Were listening. Thank you.
Carol. Will has his hand up, but I'll go to
Carol. No, well, I was going to talk about this a little bit, but at
you know, the F&I report, so, but there was discussion at the committee about whether we could still do anything about that through our state or federal representatives, and you're saying that...
Well, it sounded pretty grim at the MPO today. Fernando always looks to see if we can do something positive, and he was talking with John Lampman a couple of weeks ago, hoping that maybe a sidewalk can get built, at least, and maybe the road can get paved. But I don't think you can really pave over some of that. It's in such bad shape, so I don't know what will happen. But that's not the project. That's something else.
Right. Okay. How much money was that?
About $4 million.
Okay. Thank you, Dooley. Will?
Wow.
$5 million.
I want to thank Frank for commenting on Bob. Bob was the first department head that I had the pleasure to meet with after I was elected to the legislature, and I was so struck at what an amazing man he was, and his ability to have a handle on this very complex organization, and to do so with humor and humanity and compassion. And I got to know him better. Along with Dave, I serve on the Community Mental Health Services Board and as liaisons. And just seeing him in a small setting, working with people who are working with clients, was just has been a very, very rich experience. And he's going to be a very, very hard person to attempt to find somebody that can continue that work, but I'm sure we will give it our best shot. On a lighter note, on last Saturday night, I had the pleasure to be part of the grand opening of a facility that happens to exist in the district that I represent, on Ithaca College, and I'm talking about the Ithaca College's new Athletics and Events Center. And we've talked about this before, and Joe and Frank were there. Maybe you'll want to add things. But, folks, if you haven't been to this facility, sometimes stop by and give it a visit. It is truly stunning in terms of its size and what it is bringing to our community. And Ithaca College did a rather amazing job in terms of it's just sort of thanking the many people that helped make it possible. They raised $65.5 million to build this building during a period of economic downturn. So you just imagine the enormity of that project. A lot of that came from small donations. There were some 2,800 people that contributed to that project, many of whom were... I gather present along with us. Ithaca College put on an intimate candlelit dinner for about 900 people, and did an amazing job. They had the purpose was to showcase the building, but what they really were doing was, I think, allowing their amazing students to present themselves, and they had the full range of singers and actors and performers of all stripes, including 10 members from the Chengdu Sport University in China, who they have an association with, who did this Tai Chi demonstration, which was right out of a movie. It's just truly amazing. So I just wanted to thank Ithaca College for creating this. This is a facility that's going to be available to the larger community. It's going to allow us to have events here that could not have been done previously. It can seat like the 6,000 people indoors. And I understand they've already scheduled at least one major conference for next summer. So I wish it the very best. And thanks again to them for allowing me to be part of the opening celebration.
Thank you, Will. Leslie, then Nate, then Pam.
Thanks, Will. I'm jealous. I wish I could have been there. I did plan on being there, but health circumstances dictated otherwise, so I'm glad to hear it's such a fabulous
facility and that the reception was wonderful. I can barely bring myself to talk about Bob without going into tears. I will say this, Bob served as one of the first members, staff members on the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. And even when he could not attend the meetings, he made sure that he paid attention to what was going on and would send me these little notes about what needed to happen or not happen. And in true Bob's form, they were always humorous, but with good direction and good information about what's going on, something he's attended, something I should go to, etc. So I will miss him dearly. 2 weeks ago when he was here for the budget meeting, I can barely bring myself to come into the room. As on a personal note, Bob and I go way back in the theater. I saw him outside waiting to come in. And the last time I saw him, he was on his own 2 feet. So needless to say, I was completely taken aback and stood there for a moment. So he said, "Leslin." I spoke, and he said, "Well, who's that?" And he said, "It's Leslin." And he said, "Oh, darn, I should recognize that voice. Well, where are you?" And then it dawned on me that his eyesight was not as good also. And he held my hands, and he said to me with a need a present, and made me swear that I would do it. And maybe he was prophetic that in his honor, I need to promise that I will return to the stage. I'm not sure if I promised. Anita will have to attest if I did. I said, "I hear you, Bob. I hear you." But in true Bob's form, you know, he said, "We miss you." And I started crying because it meant so much coming from him. And something in what he said told me that he felt his time was near. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Covert saw me. She's like, "You're not trying to come in here, are you?" But as Bob would do to me, I will say to him, "I'm kind of mad at you, Bob. One, because you wouldn't be there to perform with me when I returned to the stage. And two, you actually made me publicly promise now that I will, just because you asked me to." Bob also was well known, if you don't know it, for making a very mean shrimp pasta with some mecha mecha stuff that I don't know. He would never tell you what the ingredients were. But he was just such a kind person. And one of the things he said also is, I said, "Bob, I had a chance to see Karen dance in a performance at the Kitchen Theater." He said, "Yes, I was there. And I thought I saw every moment of it." You know, like Stevie Wonder always says, I saw it. He said, "I thought I saw every moment of it." So just humor and what he was going through just made it even more heart-wrenching for me, but also easy to accept where he was. So Bob, to you, I'll miss you, and certainly whenever I get back on the stage, which I hope soon, my very first performance will be dedicated to you and what you've done for all of us. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Leslin. Nathan?
I just wanted to also reflect on the passing of Paul DeLuca. I remember last in the meeting in September in Health and Human Services, he came to our meeting and I remember talking to him after the meeting for about 20 minutes about how he could use his iPad to get into county work, you know, into the county's computer so that he could do his work. And it was just so, you know, to find out that he had passed away a few days ago, it was just so shocking, just reflecting on that conversation just happening a month ago. But I wanted to just talk about one of my favorite Bob moments. So Bob was one of the department heads that really reached out to me when I first started on the legislature. I joined the Mental Health Services Board, and it was a wonderful experience and a great board, and you could tell that he really cared about his folks, you know. And also, he had an incredible board. I mean, he chose people for that board that were as equally as passionate as he was about the citizens of Tompkins County. But anyway, my favorite Bob moment is that I was walking down in the commons one day, and this mime slash clown came up to me and started just like bothering me. And I was like, what is going on? And I'm like trying to get a hot dog, and he's kind of like doing this, like, you know, mime thing, right? And I'm like, what is this wrong with this guy? Gosh, right? And it took me like an honest like 10 minutes while I'm watching like another performance going on, and he's kind of coming back and just doing this weird stuff to me. And then I was like, oh my gosh, Bob? And he was like, you know, and then like walked away. And I was like, wow, I mean, that he was somebody that really just, I mean, he lived life beautifully.
Yes, he did.
He did. And he will be missed.
Yeah. Thank you, Nathan. Pam?
Well, my moment is not, is more mundane. I'm wanted to report on a meeting that I went to this last week up in Skinny Atlas. And it was a meeting of the Upstate Safety Coalition. And we are continuing to work on the garbage truck issue. And one of the things that's happening is that we are not stopping at getting the garbage trucks off our roads. We're at 50% there, because they're supposed to be all on the interstate highway now going north, at least. But we don't have the southern part done, but the ultimate solution is to have it transported by train, and so we are working on trying to make that happen. We are looking at with a certain amount of money, we can get a spur built from the railroad line to Seneca Meadows, and so we have begun the process of lobbying to try and get funds for that included in some economic development package.
Thank you, Pam. Carol?
Yeah, Pam, I'd really appreciate having an update to send out to, you know, I have a lot of constituents who ask about the trucks, and that's sort of one of the issues that I continue to get questions about a lot. So that would be helpful by email. And then I heard on the radio the other day, I think it was on Capitol Press Room, the head of the New York State Canal Corridor talk about hoping to, I don't know if this is realistic or not, but to beef up use of the canal, the waterway,
that would be work too,
for purposes such as this. So I don't know if it's something to throw into the hopper, but anything you could try would be appreciated. Thanks.
Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of quickies. The just to follow up on Will's announcement about the athletic center up at Ithaca College, it was a wonderful event, and we've been reassured by Anthony Hobson that heaven forbid there's ever an emergency in this community where we need to house thousands of people on short notice, that facility could do it. I know Martha, Joe, a bunch of us were up during the construction of this facility, and seeing the completed one is absolutely phenomenal. The floor in the swimming pool is made for me. Those of us that swim like stones have this floor that moves within 2 feet so that you can wade into the pool. But Olympic swimmers like Pat are eligible to go down to, I think it's 18 or 20 feet, so that your dive is preserved. It was wonderful. And Leslyn, you'd have been very pleased. CCH Pounder received an honorary degree. She was wonderful, really. Saturday, and another highlight of the community, Saturday, this coming Saturday, is the Brooktondale Apple Festival. You are all welcome to come, and we won't have CCH there, but a bunch of us will be there, and that's probably as good. Joe is going to sing. Follow-up on Dooley's announcement about Martha Vann reopening. Some of us had the opportunity, I know we saw Carol there on Saturday, up at Cornell. The Johnson Art Museum just opened their newly completed wing, which is absolutely phenomenal. If you have a chance, you really should take a few minutes and go up and see it. Carol had quite a role in raising some of that money, I understand. And some of us that have been on the advisory board have watched this thing over the last 2 years. So if you get a chance, you'd really enjoy it. Those are the pleasant announcements. So, thank you.
Sorry to take another turn. Everything I planned to do on Saturday, I didn't get to do. I want to congratulate the Cancer Research Center on another successful walkathon. And for those of you who were there, or walked, or donated, it's certainly appreciated. And on that note, I have to beg your indulgence because I do have to leave. I do not feel very well. Matter of fact, I'm sitting here getting a fever and under doctor's orders to be on medical leave in my house. So I apologize that I wouldn't be here for the votes on the other two resolutions, which are key to me. I would have voted yes, just for the record. But I do have to go.
All right. Thank you, and feel better very, very soon. Thanks for coming, Leslie. All set here? Is that it? Thank you all. Paula, thank you for your patience. We haven't had a special topic in a little while. The grants management database is something that is one of those projects that Paul's been quietly working on, and is going to be a real benefit. So we wanted to have a presentation on that tonight.
This is intended to be high tech in terms of showing you a quick demonstration of a database. But with all live high tech presentations, one should also plan for little to no tech. So just give me a little second here to pass out some paper that will provide some of the detail that I'm going to cover in just a few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
You gave me a bunch of them. Do you have enough there?
I also want to take this opportunity to acknowledge one of the department heads who's been patiently waiting this evening. Without his curiosity, creativity, and tolerance of me wanting to change things every now and then, this demonstration wouldn't be possible. The database just wouldn't be here. Jay Franklin has graciously offered a lot of his time behind the scenes to help me with this. He was also very interested in just grants development in general, and so he figured this was an opportunity to learn something and also help move a vision forward. So that's why Jay is here this evening, and thanks so much for your support. Just a minute of very, very brief background. About 2.5 summers ago, I had what I called a brown bag lunch and learn, where I invited a number of department heads and other staff across the county, those who I knew were actively engaged in competitive grant opportunities or had inquired along the way about doing more of it or learning more about it. And I invited them to just have a conversation with me about what kind of a support center, and I'm just using that term loosely right now, but what kind of support resources, tools, center, whatever, might be a benefit to them to help them as they are both researching grant applications, strategizing about what to bid on, and then, of course, preparing and managing after that award. One of the things that came out of that discussion was the need to have a central repository for grant information, in particular competitive grant information. And it's probably something that folks don't realize, but we never had this information until now in one place. Typically, when a department comes to you, someone like what Ed was here today, they're letting you know of a grant opportunity where maybe a resolution or something is required. But most of the time, you don't know about these things until you're on the back end, until an award has been received, and so you're passing a resolution to accept in that money. Well, unless you memorize the resolutions or the titles and how they are, it's very difficult to then go back and search in the aggregate of what you have in terms of competitive grant opportunities. So with Jay's help, I put my design on paper, and he made it a reality. We have shared this with department heads, gave them an opportunity to sort of test it out, and we just wanted to use this chance to introduce you to it. You would access this database via our county website, and all of the grant information that I've just sort of been envisioning is housed here in what we call the Grants Development and Management Center. I'll just tell you right now I'm the center, but the vision and hope is still alive. Here is an opportunity to sort of establish our portal within county government so that folks that are interested in particular grant opportunities but might not know where to search for them or how to organize their thoughts and what they're looking for, they could come right here. Just very, very quickly, we've got announcements, for example, on new initiatives, and I took the opportunity to put the New York is Open for Business grant there. We also have one from the New York Council for the Humanities for a recovery effort for our local nonprofits and cultural groups that might have experienced some problems with the storms. If, in fact, you wanted to look at these opportunities by, let's say, subject matter, let's say you weren't aware of it, but you think in terms of agriculture or broadband, or in this case, I've done a little sample here of energy and environmental quality. Some of that same information you could find that way. So I'm just using this New York is Open for Business as an example that there are opportunities there if you're looking for energy grants and things of that nature that you can go there. So this is just real quick on what the Management Center is intended to do. We could catalog federal grants, state grants, foundation grants, and so forth. But then once we start to gather that information, we need to put it somewhere. And that's what I wanted to introduce to you tonight, which is Tracking Our Progress, code name for our database. Right now, you're accessing, or we're accessing this through our usual web interface. But when we go directly to the database is housed on the county's intranet. So what that means is that the information is only available to staff that are on our local network. We chose this for a number of reasons, but some things are very proprietary as they are in the application stage. You don't want to let out your secrets because you want the grant to be awarded to you. So because we have both pre- and post-application information, we're making this available on our intranet only. There are three different ways to access our database, to either enter a new record, if you need to edit an existing record, and I'll explain that in just a minute, and, of course, if you want to search the database. You might ask, so why do we even have this information? Well, historical data about our grants is extremely important. We get an opportunity to find out what agencies do we have a relationship with. We have an opportunity to see how much money have we gotten from a particular agency in the past. We have an opportunity to see if we're a department and it's our first time out the gate doing this, we can see what other departments have done. And then the way the database is set up, as the saying goes, picture's worth a thousand words, and it gives you an opportunity to look at complete grant applications so that you have a sense of what a final product ought to look like. In your handout, you do have a copy of what I'm showing on screen now. And I apologize for the resolution there. I don't want to take time to adjust it. But the input form is divided into four parts. Parts A and B are what I call application stage prior to award, and parts C and D are post-award, because some of that information you just wouldn't know until you know the actual status of your grant application. Part A is just basically the obvious, you know, what department is submitting this application and how to contact them. But there is also fields there for a co-applicant. So if we have two departments going in together, or if a department and a local agency are applying, the database will capture that information. In Part B, it's all the information about the funding agency. We also can track by agency type. So that means, like, if this is a federal grant application, state grant, foundation, private donor, so forth. Sometimes things are tracked by grant number, so there's a field for there, as well as the formal title of the grant. And also by grant type. I won't go into a lot of this, but it is important on whether or not we're doing this as a demonstration grant, if it's total discretionary funds, or whether this is under a cooperative agreement. There are other grant types, so we do have an option for that as well. Things like application due date, the amount of funds requested. A question that often comes up is this does this grant require a match? We have an opportunity to actually track that, and whether or not it's a cash match or an in-kind match. And then, of course, like I said, the department has an opportunity to upload that application. I'll show you a sample of that in a minute, as well as to provide a one-liner or two, a brief description of what the grant is all about, because we have an opportunity to do keyword searches on those fields. Like I said, parts C and D are post-award. Even if, unfortunately, the award is denied, or if for some reason there was a decision made to withdraw the application, the database captures that information along with the award date, the amount of funds received, because, of course, that could be different than what we actually requested, and the period of performance, which is important for department heads, because now you can take a really good look to see, from this particular revenue stream, how long it's running and how much funding you can anticipate within that period of time. And then Section D is the information about the funding agency's contracts officer and program officer. So, come now. Just when I said that, you know what they say with live demos. There we go. So with all that said, that's what any department staff person would do to enter a record on a grant application. And if they have to go back to update some information, like I said, particularly the post-award information, they have an opportunity to go back in under a code and a password so that no one can, mistakenly go in and edit their record, but they can do that. Here's what I'd like to think is the fun part. And this is how we can search for a particular grant application. What we've done is sort of consolidated a lot of the information that would be on the application screen, on the input screen. But as you can see, you can search by department to see how many competitive grants we have in the database that way. You can search by funding agency. And the reason why you see this populated is because these are all of the funding agencies thus far represented in the database. Our department heads have really done a terrific effort in getting a lot of their grant information already input into the database. We have about 24 records and about 8 different departments represented. I have to underscore again that this is competitive grant information only. This wouldn't be like formula grants or what we would otherwise think of as state aid and things like that. This is only competitive. You can search by funding type, grant type, obviously periods of performance, dollar amounts, and so forth. So what does that actually look like? Well, let's see. If I were wanting to search on funding agency type, and let's say I wanted to search by private foundation, I've selected that. I hit the search button. And you see that there are two items that come up. I realize that's very small, but there are two items. One is from our planning department, and one is from county administration. And lo and behold, the contact name for that particular grant is me. And if you go to the far right and you click on the details, now what you get is all of those fields that were blank on the input page. Now those you can see what that looks like input. So you can contact me about this grant. This grant is with the Community Foundation. It is their rural community grant focusing on technology. This particular grant is being submitted on behalf of the county's broadband committee. And we submitted our application 2 days ahead of time. The application due date was the 23rd of September. You don't see any post-award information there because we're still waiting for the outcome of that. That grant is in review. Another quick example here in terms of searching, if you did not put in any information, any other criteria, and you just simply hit search, then what you have here, in essence, is a running list of all of the grant applications that we have in our database. It gives you an opportunity to look at by grant title, by contract type, period of performance, so forth and so on. And like I said, there are a number of these where you can just click on detail. This is just one that came out of our solid waste department. I'm going to click here where it says grant application document, but I'm going to do that and also say now is time if you have any questions. And the only reason why I'm saying I'm going to click that and let it download is because sometimes you don't know, based on how big these items are, just how long they take to download. And so, like I said, when you're doing a live demo, you know, you sort of plan for these things, but voila, there it is. And so, like I said, picture is worth a thousand words, particularly if you are a department that doesn't have the person power, you know, enough people around to both do grant applications and do the work, or if they just haven't had the experience to do this. This gives them an opportunity to see from cover letter through the entire application. It also gives them an opportunity to see how applications vary. One of you tonight had a question you were asking Ed about a grant application. And so when you look at these applications, you can see sort of the difference in what foundations ask for versus a state funder versus a Fed funder and that kind of thing. And so all of that information would be included here. So I know that it's going to be that you have a lot more on your agenda, and I don't want to add to any of that. But if there are any quick questions you have of me or of Jay, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you, Paula. This is pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Impressive.
It was fun.
This is great. Brian, then Carol.
Yeah. Paula, just a quick question. Obviously, that's on the administration's part of our website. Is that open to the public, or is that information? Is that
The database itself, everything I've shown you, all the searching capability, the database is housed on our intranet. But you're getting to this particular page of tracking our progress.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, anybody can get to this page by visiting our county website.
Okay.
But when you begin to go in to want to search a record or anything like that, if you're doing this from the outside and you're not physically in our, you know, using our county server, what you'll get is one of those standard messages that tell you that you cannot access this page.
Do the opportunities, the list of opportunities, is that available?
Yes, absolutely. In other words, I'm going back to where the welcome page. Okay. Let me just do this really, really quickly. If you are on our county homepage, because I want to make sure that everybody can see the sequence of this. So if you're on our county homepage, you would go to departments and to county administration, and that takes you to the county administration homepage. So all departments sort of have their own homepage, and this is ours for county admin. And when you look to the left of the screen, there is a button that says Grants Development, and that takes you to the page where we started with this presentation. All of those things, like when I showed you the new announcements. That is accessible to anybody from the outside looking at our webpage. Any of these areas here to the right, they're all accessible with the exception of tracking our progress. You can see this page, but when you try to go and access a record or whatever, you would just get that sort of access denied message.
Okay, and we're not the ones that are going to be getting access. We would have to get with...
Well, you can ask any department to, you know, research their grant information, or considering I'm the Grants Management Center, you could call me.
Mm-hmm. We have an in.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank
thanks.
You, Carol. Yeah, thanks, Paula. This is really interesting. I can see the utility. I have a question about whether departments will be required to track either the grants that have been awarded, which I could definitely see utility for, so that we can sort of be claiming and understanding how our success in actually getting grants across the board, and/or grants that are pending, which may be a little more problematic.
No, well, you could, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, a database, right, and its utility is only as good as the information that's in it. Right now, there is no requirement for department heads to enter this information, but the whole idea is just the benefit it is for anyone that's looking to go after grants. So everyone benefits from the information that's in here. So by not putting it in there, you know, you just sort of lose out. But in this case, we're really encouraging department heads to use it. And so far, like I said, this is only competitive grant information. And there was one other caveat I forgot. We only asked departments because we were trying to get this up and running and so that they could quickly see the benefit of it. This is only competitive grant information from 2010 forward,
okay,
which is probably the reason why you're only looking at, you know, 24 records.
Right.
And also, like I said, not all departments are up to speed in this area or, like I said, have the person power to do it.
Right.
But hopefully this would be a way to kind of encourage them and know that they have a resource with me and other folks in the county who've done this before to help.
Right. So, well, the next step might be to consider whether there are ways to automatically populate the fields for grants awarded, since that information about, you know, money coming in, you know, goes into our county records in any case. Maybe there's a way to have it automatically.
Yeah. Well, you can search that by
into
your,
the ones that are awarded. And then I have a question about how you're anticipating populating the fields and the pages about opportunities,
right?
As opposed to the, you know, it's the where to go looking. What was grant preparation tools and where to look for grants? Mm-hmm. Is easier to put than to maintain the information about what all the current opportunities in each realm are.
Right.
And again, I don't know if there's ways to automate right. that, to have that download automatically.
The opportunity section is really just meant for a quick what's new. It is not meant to house all grant opportunities. And a lot of those, the two items I showed there tonight were for demo purposes and placeholders. I'm logged into a number of listservs that come my way. So when something I think is relevant to what is applicable to the work we do here in the county, I would post there. The reason why we have these placeholders here, for example, under federal grants, okay, the idea here is that we only put federal grant agencies that that offer grant programs applicable to the kinds of services and programs we have to the county. This would be static, and you would have links directly to their grants page. So we're trying to make this as low maintenance as possible. This is not about somebody being online every day adding grant opportunities here. We just don't have the resources to do that.
Right.
But like I said, it's a vision, and it's slowly coming till. And I'm hoping that this page in particular will be the next step.
Thanks,
Paul. I imagine a lot of grants require sort of some boilerplate stuff. Tompkins County has 101,000 people. Is this going to have a you know some blocks like that that people can pull off and use, right, the things that are often repeated?
Yeah. Actually, there's information like that already available on our planning page. One of the other things that was really good and new this year to our own budget booklet is that there's that upfront piece that gives a lot of information on Tompkins County. Another way we were hoping to address that is the section on the database that allows you to upload information, that a lot of that stuff you have right there. Now, of course, those are in PDFs, but we were hoping to do that. And there is a section to the right here where it says grant preparation tools. There is no active link there. All of this is still being worked on. But we were looking for that, or I'm looking for it, that kind of feedback, because if I can get a list of, you know, kind of must-haves or always use, then it would be clicking on to grant preparation tools, and that's where you'd find information like that.
Thank you very much. This is Kathy.
Just want to ask a curiosity. What program was this based on? Is it access-based or?
It's very similar to Access. It's created through an online system that's, if you look behind the scenes, it is Access.
So you can do queries and stuff like she's talking about, whatever the needs are, we can go ahead and realign it for that. It's a really neat looking, I like how pretty it is. It's aesthetically very pleasing, which you don't always find in a database like that. So thanks.
That means somebody designed it well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is great. Really, really appreciate seeing that. Thank you very much, Paula.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah. My pleasure.
So we're going to get lots more money now, right?
I still know why.
All right. Thank you so much. For my report, I wanted to tell you what I did on Saturday. A number of community groups, thanks Jay, sponsored the second public meeting that was meant to help folks understand the DEC's DSGEIS. So we had a forum in July, and we had another one on Saturday that included Ed Marks made a presentation, and Chip Northrup, Barbara Lifton, and Jeanette Barth. So it was focused on the socioeconomic part of the DSGIS and the new material that was there. All of the video, I believe, is or will soon be available at shaleshockmedia.org, and the PowerPoints, the slides that people presented, are available at tcgasmap.org. So it was there was a ton of information. It was really very helpful and well attended. I also went to New York City same day for a family event, and stayed with cousins who've been on an almost daily basis going down to the Wall Street demonstrations, since we're helping out, bringing food, signing up to, you know, have people come and stay in their house, that sort of thing. So we had long conversations about the interaction between electoral politics and movement politics, and there's a lot of debate about that. So we if anybody wants to know more, I'm happy to tell you. I'm going to leave on the counter here the first two versions of the Occupied Wall Street Journal. I think this is what they really meant by a broadsheet. I think, right? That it's really exciting. This is an amazingly organized group of people. They've got these, you know, websites and paper productions here. They, even though the press is fond of saying they don't know what they want or they're muddled, I think they know very clearly what they want, and I hope that they continue to succeed. I got word last night. Excuse me. The city of Albany has passed a ban on gas drilling. The city of Albany. I think there's a possibility that the mayor may veto it. I don't know. Well, you know, the Utica Shale is way bigger than the Marcellus Shale. Now, I don't know if it goes to Albany, but I will tell you that when we were in Lake Placid, you know, Peter and I, for the NYSAC meeting, turned on the television, they had advertisements about gas drilling in Lake Placid. So I think the gas companies may think there's
gas everywhere in New York State. Who knows? So, and I understand the city of Syracuse is voting on it tonight, a similar ban, so and is expected to pass. So the town of Dryden may soon have some more co-conspirators in this effort. And I just want to remind you all that there's a card going around, yet another sad event, that Lisa Holmes' father passed away. So I hope you'll catch the card that is going around and add your condolences. So that is my report. And sorry. The next meeting of the Economic Development Council for the Southern Tier is tomorrow at Cornell at 3 o'clock. And Monday, the 24th, there's a public presentation on our draft strategic plan. That's at 6 o'clock at Binghamton University. So, all right. If there are no questions, County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Thanks, Martha. I'm going to go short tonight, and it's a part of my tribute to Bob, because I think some of you would like to go to calling hours after this meeting. So if I can keep my report short, that will allow you to do that. I was going to say a couple things about Bob. I don't need to. You've really passed along the sentiments, I think, of the organization toward Bob. I will say that what you saw in Bob, his clients, his staff, his colleagues saw every day, it wasn't a face he put on for you. It was Bob. And he was a special guy. I will just say he faced his illness and his fate with unimaginable courage. It's just amazing the way he handled his situation. And we'll all miss Bob very much. That's my report.
Thank you, Joe. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Well, I don't have a report. I was going to say something about Bob, but so many of you have said so many things about Bob. But I do want to thank you for all the things you said about Bob, and mostly for giving us and me in particular the opportunity to work with Bob. It was really an honor and a pleasure. He was a great guy, and I know I'm sure I can't imagine anybody in the staff not missing Bob very much.
Thank you, John. Finance Director David Squires.
It's
on the table.
Well, I conclude my brief remarks with some uplifting remarks. The sales tax is back on track. At the end of the third quarter, we were on track for budget sales tax through the first two quarters, and then it sort of tanked. No growth, flat growth, and the third payment of the month was very dynamic, almost 9%, and the last payment we received over last year. So we should end up with about well within target of the budget at the end of the third quarter, probably around 3.5% year to date. The third quarter was up by 6% after, because with this reconciliation payment we received. So that's a big relief.
Thank goodness. Thank you, David. Any questions? All right. Before we go to committee reports, I think we should take a break. 5 minutes. Come back at 7:30. We're in recess. Thank you.